Yes, I want to talk about bail bagging properties and my co-author, Andy Jordan. We're interested in this problem. I find it interesting. It comes from the industry. Part of the issue is bales are usually produced fairly dry, maybe around 5%, and they're stored and transported in humid conditions often, at least around Mississippi they are. And the equilibrium might be around 7.5. So traditionally, they've gained some weight. And at this higher moisture content, they're actually better at the mill. The fiber's a little stronger. And with previous bagging, it was very permeable. These are some old bales with a very permeable bagging, and you can see here even a while ago they didn't even cover the whole bale. The current trend is to woven polypropylene and linear low-density polyethylene. They've coated the woven polypropylene to keep the fibers from getting into the cotton, and this coating is pretty much impermeable to moisture, and of course the polyethylene is impermeable also. The industry has asked for holes to be put in these materials, and they started off with little pinholes or very tacks sort of that they pushed into the bagging, and that increased it slightly, but it turns out Stanley Anthony did test, put bales in these bags, stored them for months, weighed them periodically, and actually they didn't gain weight very fast. Andy and I were talking, we're involved with Texas A&M too, and we'd measure the bale weight change during storage and also measure the water vapor transmission of the bagging material with the little holes punched in it, or the bigger holes, depending on what we're talking about. My thought would be if we could come up with a decent model of how the bale in the bag in the storage room behaved, and we could probably tie that to this water vapor transmission, which is an ASTM method of measuring the bagging. Compare these two over a wide range, and maybe we could not have to store multiple bales in these bags for 2 or 3 months of every type of bagging that people are interested in looking at. My knowledge of drying, which is something I did in my PhD work, led me to believe this kind of an equation would fit over a long time, that the initial moisture would not fit this equation, but later on it would. And it's fairly simple for an engineer anyway, where C would be the equilibrium, A would be the total change in weight, and B is a rate of change, which is the key factor here. The size of the bale is probably not that important. The bales are all the same dimension, just different weights. We also have the weight ratio, which is a basic drying, if you had that in college. The weight left to change and the total weight change. So it's a ratio. It starts out at 1 and goes to 0. And it turns out, with previous work from last year's Beltwide and the ASAB meeting this summer, I presented a fair amount of data of modeling these bales. And as you can see, it goes out, this particular plot goes out to about 85 days, almost 3 months, and these different kinds of bagging materials. And the square ones, this line here, is no bagging at all. And of course, it responds most rapidly. And then some other different kinds of bagging on here. Originally, they strip coated. They coated the woven polypropylene bagging in strips to allow a space in between for moisture to transfer through the bagging. And Stanley Anthony and some others had looked at that and said it was almost as fast as the jute and the hemp, which my data leads me to believe it isn't as fast, but it's pretty fast. Whereas some of these other materials, like these, is a linear low-density polyethylene bag with not very many holes punched in it, really, but it had some. So we had this coefficient B from that equation for these different kinds of baggings. This is from 2007 data. And you get these kinds of numbers. And I said, well, let's do a half time to equilibrium. How long would it take to get halfway to equilibrium? And this is a number that's a little, this is in days. It's a number that's a little more, I think, a little more understandable. And this is a curve. This particular is more recent data with highly permeable bags, burlap, two burlap bags, two cotton bags, and two bear bales, all in the same environment for the same period of time, in this case, a little over 2 months. And as you see at the beginning, it doesn't fit very well, as you'd expect from the theoretical development. But after a while, in this case, about 10 days, it fits very well, and all three types of bagging give pretty much exactly the same data. These little non-smooth changes have to do with the trouble, the problem of keeping the environment exactly controlled, I think. And so you can see this weight change is quite smooth in this model. This line is the model, which is the type I showed you earlier, fits the data, I think, quite well. So we had the first part. This one is some low permeability bags. The lowest right here, I think Tommy Valco looked over one of my papers and he said, that looks like a flat line there. Well, it's not quite flat, but it's pretty close to flat. And it's the polyethylene bag with no holes at all. And you can see, in this case, it's the bale weight over here. So you can see how the bale weight changes. And there's a little bit of zigzag here doing to measurement errors. But these curves fit pretty well, I think. And these two types of bagging are the same kind. And this one is the same kind of bagging. So that's three different slopes on there, the way I modeled it. OK, so that's in the past. This bag, the one I just showed you with no holes, 1,136 days for it to change half the amount of moisture it's going to change. That's over 3 years. So that's the plastic bags with no holes at all. And we were very careful to not have any whatsoever. Typically, a gin will tear a few little holes in it and help it out a little. But some of these fully coated woven polypropylene, that's a year, basically, to change half the weight it was going to change. That's really pretty slow also. Whereas the traditional burlap and cotton, 20 days. The more recent work was with the standard method of weighing the moisture transmission of materials such as this. We repeated some of the Texas A&M work. They started it. They have a belt wide, I think, and another paper too, I think. And then we started collecting data for samples of bags we had used in the previous tests. And I need to emphasize that. These are used bags. And we cut pieces of the bag that we used previously with bales and ran the same bags through this test. It's basically you take a little circle of material, about that big, and put it on this cup that's filled with desiccant. You weigh it, depending on how big the holes are and how many there are, a couple times a day or maybe once a day for a couple of weeks, and you get weight change data. Now, Texas A&M was working with this woven polypropylene here that you can see and punched holes in it as a way of establishing the method, but we were working with bags already from the industry. Now, this woven polypropylene, if you're not familiar with it, you get very strong bands here that are woven, and then they're coated with the material to keep the fibers from getting out. And these bags can be made in two ways. Most of them are bias cut, so that when you pull the bag open to get the bale in it, the bands, the strong bands are twisted. And we think, Andy brought this up first, that when you twist those bands, you're tearing little holes in at the point where they are intersecting. I don't have data to demonstrate that yet, but something we need to look at. We've got a couple of bags, experimental bags, where they are not bias cut. They're woven square, and those were much less permeable than the very similar bag that was bias cut. So I think we have strong evidence that's probably true, but I don't have real engineering data for it yet. This is some of the data from the ASTM test, water vapor transmission, and you can see these weights are very linear, that they're supposed to be, and that's great. That was some of the repeating Texas A&M data part. This is some real bagging material. These are four different samples out of the same bag of one of the polypropylene bags that was used in the test. And you can see based on the weight over here, these are quite linear. This is a 2-week period. We weighed them twice a day after we got started. We usually skip the first data point. It fits better, and you have plenty of linear data here to go on, and you just want the slope. That's all you want for the next step. And if it isn't linear, you got a problem. Okay, now this is a rather busy table. It's in the paper. Mostly I want to point out this column is from the study of the bagging samples. This is the water vapor transmission data, and it goes with the linear low density polyethylene with no holes, 0.065, down here to woven burlap, 115. So you can say there's a number, that's a wide range. We got a very wide range. And I think that's pretty much the range of all the bagging materials that are used. And from the bale study, the study of putting bales in these bags and letting them sit in an environment, controlled environment for a while, 1,136 days for this polyethylene, down to about 20 days for the burlap. So I had a set of data there, and then I put them on a plot, a log-log plot, and that's what I got. And to me, this is very encouraging. I really, really want to put a line through there, and one of my reviewers really, really wanted me to put a line through there too. And I'm resisting because, first of all, there's a couple points that are not right on the line I want to put in there. And I'm not sure why. And I don't think we have enough data yet to really draw a line and say what we've got, whether it's a straight line, which is what I hope it is, or a curve. We need to know more about the errors in this. But it sure looks encouraging. So in conclusion, we took this data from months with the bales and weeks with the water vapor transmission. The water vapor transmission test method appears to correlate pretty well with the bale bagging over a wide range. The accuracy, we don't know that much about yet. And the water vapor transmission approach is way less expensive. These little samples for 2 weeks versus these great big samples for 3 months. Way less expensive. And sometimes we've had these big bales, it's like 12 of these big bales in a room, and after a month and a half, the power goes off for a day, and there we are, ready to start over again. So you've got to have 2 months at least of good data before you know what to do. We're going to do some more of this, get some more data, check with actual bales. We're concerned about using unused woven polypropylene versus used woven polypropylene. And we'll see. We think there's an issue there. We're going to look at that. And we want to have a list of what we need to have so that we can get a reasonable estimate of how these bales are going to behave, and things like what type of bagging, do we need to stretch the bagging before we test it, the unused bagging now, before we test it to get a good estimate, and then we get the water vapor transmission of the bagging and the number and the size of the holes that the industry has put in these bags. Okay, and that's what I have for you today. Anybody want to ask a quick question? I have a few seconds left.
Why was cotton slower than burlap? I guess it's a kind of weed.
Statistically, it wasn't different at all. No bagging, burlap bagging, and cotton bagging, statistically not different. Something, when you're measuring something in the real world, something's going to be lower than something else, even if they're not different. Maybe the cotton is a little lower. It's a tighter weave. It's a little bit thicker, you know, so it's more insulation, if you will, maybe. And 20 days is pretty fast. I mean, it was so just the insulating value of the cotton might be the difference. But statistically, there's no difference. So from a scientific standpoint, it's not different.
Thank you.
Thank you.